We're gonna take up again tonight 1 Corinthians 12, and as we go on toward mystery truth, and as we look at wisdom, and this is study 34. In our study of wisdom, and today's study is March the 11th, 2020, and we're looking at the Book of Correction, 1 Corinthians, if you will, Book of Correction that Paul wrote, the period of this was about Acts 18 or later. And if you want to realize the date of it, because it starts off with the word now, and that's basically where we are. And it deals with reproof and explanations. There was two areas there. We did one last time in 1 Corinthians 4. And then as the book is laid out, then it brings it back up again as the thing goes on. And Paul talks to the Jews and Gentiles that were had been brought into the group at that time. And he is downloading them somewhat upon the situation with the body of Christ. And so this whole chapter here, 12, is kind of a layout toward that aspect of things, and then we got another chapter to go, 13th chapter after this, because it does tails right into it to finish it out. So we're gonna go ahead and get started and get involved in this, and it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And so the very first word is now. And I put Acts 18, probably Acts 18, 1 through 18, but it probably maybe goes on further than that. And he talks about spiritual gifts here. And the spiritual gifts are listed in Paul's writings 385 times. And it's done in four or five different ways, but yet it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit and how it affects those people in that day, as kindly as well as kindly looking forward to. But for that day, he was bringing them up to speed as to what he knew, and to get them straight concerning their situation as believers in a group. And he says, "I would not have you ignorant." and in this time, or about this time, Paul had mentioned this five times in his writings there. He said, with the spiritual gifts, he would not have them ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. So Paul immediately talks to them, especially to the Gentiles there, that they had been led away or led astray. He said, you know, or you remember that you were Gentiles led or carried away into the dumb idols. And the dumb there is number 1880 in the Strong's in the Greek. And the word is aphonos. Aphonos. And it means voiceless, mute, and without signification. They were idols. They were dumb idols. They couldn't.
It's just a chunk of material.
Yeah. Just a bunch of stuff that man had dreamed up.
Never going to speak to anybody.
Never was going to have life or anything like that. He says, even as you chanced to be, as you were led or brought. So, evidently, it was pretty easy to get involved in idol worship in that day, and it was well known as going down through those days that it was not anything that was real new, because they had been associated with that even way back in Egypt, and then the time that they, the years that they spent in Egypt, talking about the Jews now, not so much the Gentiles. Then it says in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So this is a situation there that Paul says, you know, could not happen to a true believer. He would not say that Jesus was accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So, and the Holy is attached to the word ghost there, so it was not just by the Spirit, it was by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So it says, wherefore, or because of this, because you've been carried off or taken away, he says, I give you, or make known again to you, to understand that no man in his speaking, and speaking by the Spirit of God or the new nature, ever calls Jesus accursed. So if you get into a situation like that, you need to remove yourself from that situation. And that is a full stop there, of calling Jesus accursed. And so we understand that Jesus is the Lord Christ, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles also, and we carried in. And we continue with verse 3, and it says, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And this is given by the Spirit himself. And it is not just lip service. It's not, if you hear somebody giving lip service in this way, he's not of God. He's not in the right train of thought here. And we get again to this now again. So now is the same as it was in verse 1. Now they are diversities. Many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay, you realize that the Spirit giver can give a variation of gifts, but there's just one giver. That now that again is a little off center with my way of thinking, because often, and there was a note here in verse 1 concerning these spiritual gifts, and I'll just read it, and it says, it is, the word there is the adjective of pneuma, appendage 101, and is applied to things in the divine sphere as well as those in Satan's realm that you find in Ephesians 6:12. So you see, then there is the Spirit of God that can indwell mankind here, but there is a spirit of Satan that he gives to those that are following him also, and it is put in contrast with that which is natural, as in 3:1, meaning in 15:44. In chapter 10, 3 and 4, the word is supernatural would express the meaning. It says it occurs 26 times and is always translated spiritual, and is the only word so rendered except in chapter 14, verse 12, which says supply things. That is supplying things instead of gifts. So there's a difference between things and gifts. That's another situation that we need to look at it as we go through this. Now, there are diversities, many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, verse 4. And they are differences of administrations or services, but that is the same Lord. So you got the same Spirit, the same Lord working in unison there. And it says, and there are diversities, in verse 6, of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So you see, when you read this and you see that it mentions these differences and the diversities that one can be caught up in, the workings, but you realize it's the same God which worketh all, or all the gifts and all the members, and it winds up in all. So the note there, it starts with diversities and it stops with the same God. And in verse 7 he says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And the manifestation there is 53:21 in the Strong's and in the Greek. It is an expression or exhibition of the Spirit. The manifestation is an expression or exhibition of the Holy Spirit, and is given to every man or each one to profit with all. And there was a note in the Companion Bible that kind of straightens that out, and it says, or for the profit of others, because the Holy Spirit was not given for you to profit yourself, but it was given that you might help others know and understand and realize what the Spirit does and how it works and how God applies it to where it's for his good. It's not for our own profit, but it's for the collective groups of those that believe and understand the power of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we got to continually keep that in our mind as we go along. And it says in verse 8, 4:1 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge. And all this is by the same Spirit. So when we look at wisdom, you know, we kind of lump it up with knowledge and with understanding, learning, and quite a lot of that is for the purpose of teaching, and we'll talk about that a little more as we go along in this chapter, because it kind of shifts gears a little bit. It says, but to one is given by or through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and that is to teach. Wisdom, everybody has some knowledge, but a lot of people don't have a lot of wisdom. So wisdom, I don't know how you break that apart or break it down, the difference between wisdom and knowledge, but knowledge is to know by learning and its effect or its use. And that is by the same Spirit that gives man wisdom to teach. You know, if we didn't believe that teaching was important, we would never send our children to school. Yeah. Wouldn't be any need. If worldly wisdom was all they needed, we could probably do that at home. And a lot of people do teach their own children at home. I'm not kicking that, but, you know, you gotta have some what we call common sense to do all that with, because it requires a little more than just sitting down and opening a book. Because Without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, it would be hard for us to understand what God has left for us in His Word. A lot of people depend upon a pastor or a preacher to tell them what they need to know. And that's just not right. It say what you want to. It's just not right. And at the end of this study, I'll tell you the reason why. And it says, to another faith in verse 9, by that same Spirit. To another the gifts of healings by that same Spirit. So you see that the Spirit does these things, and it's laid out for us. It's for believing what faith is, believing what is said, to understand the difference between the truth and the lie. And that's what we've run into recently, especially in the last several years. It seems like in the United States of America, it's hard to know what truth is. For believing what is said by the same Spirit, to another the gifts, and here that the word gifts is plural, of healing by the same Spirit. So evidently, when you have the plural of gifts there, there was probably divisions within that healing. There, I'm not sure that everybody could heal everything that they tried to, because there may be things that some people could could heal that other people couldn't. I don't know, but
we remember the disciples one time tried to cast out a demon. They said, "Lord, we couldn't do it." And he said, "Well, this one only goes out by prayer and fasting." Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was, they run up on a brick wall that they couldn't get past.
Yeah. So, so you see, all this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Verse 10. And it says, to another, the working of miracles. And in this day and age that this was written, we'll let's just read the rest of it. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, discerning of spirits. There you go, see. You needed to be able to discern the spirits, whether they were of God or of Satan. Okay, and to another, divers kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And that's a full stop. So in 10 it says, to another, the working of miracles, the unexplained events, the power that created these unexplained events that spirits gave men to do and to deal with. And to another, prophecy. And prophecy there is pretty self-explanatory. It is to tell or show things that are to come to pass. And to another, discerning. And that's to make a judgment of difference. To come, to be able to have the wisdom or the knowledge to judge or to discern the difference of spirits, whether they be of God or whether they be of Satan. And that is to see what is spiritual against that which is worldly, what we call worldly or natural. Because Satan can certainly make it look to be very spiritual if he so desires. The more, the closer he can come to that, the more he can get involved in that thing. And let's look at the rest of that. To another, divers or different kinds of tongues. The unknown speech that others living in other places have. And to another, the interpretation or the understanding of tongues. What we call in our vernacular now to be multilingual. I worked with a man at Michelin, Sandy Springs, for 5 years. And his name was Luke Rackleboom. And he could speak 7 languages. And we were discussing scripture one day, and my buddy that worked with me, he and Luke got into a little discussion, and Luke said, "I don't agree with that." And Butch said, "Oh, you just don't understand." He grabbed him by the shirt and said, "Are you telling me I'm dumb?" I thought we were going to get a free ride home.
Yeah.
But we made it through that time and stayed on to the end of till they got finished up with their situation down there. Then in verse 11 it says, "But all these worketh that one and the same self spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So we find that God can put more gifts on an individual than just one if he is capable of doing these things. And certainly that's what he did to the Apostle Paul. When he picked and he chose Paul, on the Damascus Road and changed his attitude, if you want to call it that, struck him blind and let him off to change his way of doing things. You know, Paul got a lot of power. God gave Paul a lot of understanding and a lot of power. And he did that because Paul had the ability, the wisdom and knowledge within himself, that it wasn't a great thing that he could continue doing the will of God with maybe a lot less teaching than other people would have had to have to do the same thing. And so God is always, he knows what a man can do and what a man will do. And he knew that Paul would do what the will of God always was. And Paul could heal people, and he could raise people from the dead.
The guy had that power.
The guy fell out of the temple that night. He went down and he got his, the young guy got his life back. But there was one thing that Paul could not do. And this is what you ought to get out of this lesson. That these spiritual gifts are not for the person himself. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because Paul asked God 2 or 3 times to take away that problem that he had. And God never took the problem away from him. And he couldn't pray for himself and have that problem removed. That was the will of God at work there in the person of the Apostle Paul. And so he always, and he always had that feeling that he wasn't worthy because he had done manly damage to those that were believing early on in Acts too. So those things he had to live with the rest of his life, I guess, in that thing. It says in verse 12, "For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ." I wonder if this was new to these people. I feel almost surely that what he's fixing to tell them is. Or maybe they had not seen it in this light. So verse 12 says this: "For as the body is one, and hath many members or many parts," because all of our bodies have a lot of different parts, "and all of the members of a one body being many are one body, so also is Christ," or is Christ also. And it says in 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been made to drink in the one Spirit." So it says, "For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body." It is the Lord who baptizes in Pneuma Hagion, whether we're Jews or Greek, whether we be bond, that's slaves, or free men, and have been all made to drink or partake into one spirit. Now, I'd like for us to go somewhere for just a minute, and let's go back to John 4 for just a minute. I want to read you a verse of scripture. John 4:14. And they was talking about drinking water. And it says in 13, and Jesus answered and said unto whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so Paul is carrying this forward here, and John has made it known at that place that he is carrying it forward here. And it says that this baptism into the one spirit is like a fountain flowing with this water. And it's everlasting. It's that can give everlasting life. That's how the Holy Spirit is in relationship to these people. That if you partake of that, if you drink of that, then you're fitted with some part of the Spirit in that sense, that you're baptized with pneumahagion, with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I wanted to bring that up because I thought that was very neat there. So it's given as a fountain, and it's water that's working for God in many different ways. It's this baptism there is the one baptism that we come to know and understand. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. And that verse doesn't need any explanation, I think. But 15, 16, 17, 18 does. Because it says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Here's one question. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's question two. And if the whole body were an eye, the question is, where was the hearing? That's the third question. And if the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? And that's the fourth question. And all this, it goes on to say, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And let me turn my note page over. Let's look at 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. But now hath God set or ordained the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. This teaching became evident when God's people, with the Spirit of God, used miracles to give those that were in, that had infirmities, to give, to heal, and to make whole again in their body in this life. When Christ came to heal, and when he gave healing power to Peter and Paul and others, it was to make the infirm whole again. You know, Christ gave back sight to people. He made the people to walk again. They did things that these people had infirmities in, and he made them whole again to demonstrate the fact that God had the power to renew life as it should be again rather than as it had become in that sense.
Very good point.
So he had set or ordained the members, every one of them in the body that had pleased him. And if they were all one member, here's the question. Where's the body? But now, are they many members yet? They're one body. So that is the example that's set before in verse 20. And then we get to another part of the study, 21 through 27. And he says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary, full stop. Everything that God given mankind was necessary. When he laid Adam out, wherever he laid him out, and he formed or made man a brand new commodity, he had everything that he needed. He wasn't lacking anything. God in his wisdom made man unique to the point where even today, thousands of years later, doctors look at it and say, man, I don't know how this came about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here. And so that's the way it works. Some parts or some members may be more feeble, but they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. He said, even though we may have parts that don't work as well as other people's do, they are still very important. And that was the reason when Christ showed up on the scene, his great teaching was the fact that he could take care of the unholy things that man had in his body. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts, that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. Verse 25 has a new word there. And that word is division. That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, that all the members rejoice with it. I think this was what Ann had in her mind whenever she agreed to give up that foot that time. Because the doctor explained to her that that foot was never going to get well and that she was going to lose her life if that didn't take place. And she didn't want to do it, but she did it. And he says, if God hath set some in the church, well, let's go back to 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongue. You see anywhere in there where it says anything about a pastor?
No, but I see a lot of kingdom gifts there. That's the beauty of it. It's hard for people to believe that God had a body of Christ in the kingdom dispensation.
Right.
Right here it is.
Right.
And they had their own hope. They had their own powers. They had their own knit together. They had their own everything.
Way of doing things.
Yeah.
I think he explained this in a way that they could fully understand.
Yeah, if you can't, just like you just said, if you can't read what Paul says about this and get it, then it ain't his fault.
Well, let's read the last three verses and we'll close. Because this is getting close to your time. It says, after reading this, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret?
And the answer is no, 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 and no.
But he says this, but covet earnestly the best gifts. You look into it, and you look and see what God has left you with. It's to be used with vigor, and it is to be used for the body, not for self. And he says, and yet, or in time, show I unto you a more excellent way. We got to go back to Proverbs again and look where God says, when I pull the curtain back, I showed you a more excellent way. Look at that when you see it in Scripture written down. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. He is going to use the Apostle Paul in a few years to show mankind a more excellent way. But it's already laid out here because in the kingdom hope they had, as Ronnie mentioned, they had this. Guess what? In mystery truth, we also have it in a more excellent way. The body of Christ is truly the more excellent way. And even though this was written earlier on, it didn't have to be changed. It didn't have to go anywhere. That's what I wanted to bring you tonight. That's what I wanted you to see. The more excellent way. God, man wants it now. But God has a more excellent way, and sometimes we just have to wait for it to take place.
That's the hard part, is waiting.
God bless you.